Alice, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michaela.
Thanks for coming. Now, if we can start, what is it about outer space that I guess fascinates our human desire to explore the unexplored, I guess?
That's such an interesting question to ask. Because I'm an archaeologist and I look at human behaviour in the deep past, I actually question that there's such a thing as the human urge to explore.
Interesting.
So I think when we look at the nations that have gone into space, they're a subset of all the communities and nations and ethnicities on Earth. It's not everybody who has been to space. So when they say it's a human urge, it's actually a narrow group of usually wealthy industrial nations who have done this. And there's a kind of presumption that maybe indigenous people don't have this urge to explore. Nobody's sort of saying, well, why aren't they in space? So on the one hand, I think we have to kind of question this narrative that it's a universal part of human nature. But on the other hand, so our ancestors, 3 million years ago, as long ago as that, have always had a relationship with the moon. The moon and the stars have always been such potent symbols and the source of cosmologies and stories and mythologies and science as well. So I think there is something, I think part of human constitution is to have some relationship with the stars and the planets and the sky. That's definitely part of how our societies and cultures come to be.
Keep going, sorry.
Oh, and I think maybe that's why the moon is such a powerful place for us, because if you think of the other planets, and human missions have been to, if they haven't landed on other planets, then they have flown past all of the other planets in the solar system. But we can't see them in the same way we can see the moon. It's like the moon can become your friend. You can you can know how its light changes, how the phases change. You know stories about the old woman in the moon, or the old man, or the rabbit, or the duck that you can see in the moon. It's a place that kind of invites people to make their own relationship and their own interpretation with it.
Yeah.
So I think this is why the moon is such a big deal.
Definitely. I think we can see it, we can watch it, so we just want to get there and know that what if.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess we found out decades ago that millions of water and ice was discovered on the moon's surface. Do we know if this has the potential to support life?
I think the consensus is that no, because a lot of this water is locked up in ice, and this ice is at incredibly freezing temperatures. So a lot of it is in craters that are at the poles, and the ice has remained intact and so kept the water structure, the H2O structure, intact because it has been frozen. It's been protected from the sun for all this time. So we do know there's living things they call extremophiles here on Earth that can live in really, really extreme conditions. But this ice has been frozen for 2 billion years. So the likelihood that there are things alive in it, or that there were things alive in it 2 billion years ago, I would say, look, nothing's impossible. But I think it's highly, highly unlikely. And this, I think, is also why people turn their imagination further afield in the solar system, because actually something I do think is a deep human longing is that longing to not be alone. And I think one of the things that spurs this interest in whether there's anything alive on other planets is that feeling that we're not alone in the solar system, we're not alone in the galaxy. So even if there are a few microbes, you know, they're still kind of company, and I think that's maybe why people are so fixated on Mars too, because there is still a possibility that there might be something that's alive there.
Yeah, it's even that David Bowie song, "Is There Life on Mars?" You know,
that sort of
thing that gets us. Do you see in your lifetime, or in our lifetime, I guess, that we could colonize both the moon and Mars?
Oh, I almost hate to say this, but I guess I'm a bit pessimistic about this. In my research and in my community, I speak to a lot of people who are involved in different kinds of space mission. And I guess I see a lot of major gaps in the kinds of technologies that we have and the kinds, the things we need to solve some of the big problems. So there has never been a completely successful closed biosphere, for example.
Mm.
So, and you're going to need that unless we're planning to supply Mars, like send regular trips there every 2 years to bring new supplies, which is going to be massively expensive. At some point, we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to make a sealed container and be able to grow self-sustaining colonies of plants and maybe even animals. Probably everybody in space is going to be a vegetarian. I think that is the most likely thing. So we can't even do that yet. So I think that's a big obstacle.
Mm.
And I just think, and I don't know, maybe I am being too pessimistic, but when I talk to my friends who are our Mars One Martian astronaut candidates, I think I don't want you to go to Mars and die.
Mm.
I think there are so many risks to sending humans to live in a place. So I'll be excited if it happens, but I won't be at all surprised if we do not see this happening in the next decade.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, as you said, we have a whole bunch of obstacles that we're going to have to cross before we can even get there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and Mars particularly, even getting there will be challenging. And look, humans haven't been on the moon for 50 years.
Mm.
I'm sure they're living on the International Space Station, but that's a really different environment with a whole different set. We can supply the International Space Station easily from Earth.
Mm.
The moon is a little bit further away and the Mars even further away.
Yeah, we can see it, but, you know, it's a little bit further than our eyes can see.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on the show this afternoon, Alice.
My pleasure. And I should say, too, we should be excited about the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, and we should be excited about going back to space. Space tourism is also going to happen.
Yeah. No, that will be exciting when it comes up. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye.